going to hear our reading, which is from Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 54. If you're finding that at home, that's Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 54. And then after that, Matt, who's a member of our church family, is going to come and speak on that passage with us. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you for reading that, Jess. What an incredible story to find ourselves in this morning. I don't know if you saw the video or you just got to hear what Jess was saying there, but either way, try and think back to the story from last week. Now, if you were here or if you're watching last week, you would have remembered the story was quite different, wasn't it? It was quite an exciting story. It was quite a celebration. Jesus was coming and he was riding on a donkey and people were cheering and celebrating and throwing down coats and palm leaves. And it was a great experience. It was a great situation to be in, wasn't it? But how things have changed. It's not an exciting celebration anymore. And I want us to really look into this passage and try and discover what was Jesus doing? What was Jesus saying and thinking as he went through this experience? Let's do that together. So after the excitement of last week, we're in this opposite situation now, aren't we? And I think if you were listening to the story and all the bad things that were happening, I think it would be quite a scary situation to be in, don't you? This would be quite, for Jesus and his followers, with the crowd turning up in the dark, it was probably quite a scary situation to find themselves in. And I was wondering, what sort of things would we find equally scary? What sort of things would we be scared of? So I wanted to do a little test, so that we're all on the same page, and figure out, what sort of things would we find scary? What are you scared of? What we're going to do, we're going to put some pictures on the screen, and I want you to tell me how scary they are on a scale of 1 to 10. So 1 is it's not scary at all. 10 means it's really, really frightening and you want to run away. And you can do that with your hands. So when the picture comes on the screen, if you think it's really scary, put up 10 fingers. If you think it's a bit scary, maybe 5 or 4. And if it's not scary at all, you can be like, closed fists. Yeah, I'll take them on. Okay, don't worry, they're not that scary, I hope. So let's have a look at our first picture. What do you think? Is this something to be scared of? Do you know who that is? Of course you do. That is Sully from Monsters, Inc. Great movie. Is Sully the monster? He's an actual monster. Is he scary? Got some twos. Can we see? Closed fist. No, lots of closed fist. No, not scary at all, actually. Even though he's a monster, he's quite cuddly and soft and nice, isn't he? We're not scared of him. Okay, let's try the next one. What about this guy? Who's that? That's Scar from The Lion King. He's a nasty lion. He's a proper villain. We've got a 6, we've got an 8, we got a 10. Yeah, lions can be really scary, can't they? We've got a not scary at all over here. So we've got a mixed bag, a bit more scary. But some of us are feeling okay with Scar. Actually, he's not real, so we don't really have to be scared of him at all, do we? But let's have a look at the next one. Ooh. Now, that does look a bit more scary. Do you know who that is? That's the ice giant from Frozen. He's pretty mean. When you watch the movie, he's pretty mean, isn't he, to Elsa or Anna. Get it the right way around. Okay, let me see your hands. We've got a seven on the front. Still not scared. You're very brave. How about everyone else? We've got eights and nines. What are you doing at home in the coffee lounge? I think this is probably the scariest ones of the three so far. Yeah, a bit more scary, but let's not be too worried. Okay, let's change it up. I've got a couple more. What about this? It's not a character. It's shoes. Are shoes scared? No, not shoes. This picture represents darkness. How do we feel about darkness? Darkness can be scary, can't it? Are you scared of the dark? Yeah, seven. No. Still not scared and very scared. Real mixed bag. Some of us are a bit scared of the dark. Well done. Good job with your hands. Darkness can be scary when we feel unsafe and alone. Darkness can be scary. But last one. What about this? How do we feel when we're lost? When you're lost your family, lost your parents, your mum and dad, you don't know where they are, been lost in the supermarket or the park or something. How do you feel when you realize that you're lost and you don't know where you are and you don't know where to go? Well, yeah, we've got some big numbers coming out on that one. When we're lost, that can feel really scary, can't it? Yeah, good job. Okay, well done. Put your hands down. Well, in this story that we're looking at today, there's lots of things that we can find scary. It was dark, so maybe you could be scared of the dark. There was an angry crowd that turned up from nowhere. That would be pretty scary. There were people with swords. I mean, I would be pretty scared if somebody turned up in the middle of the night carrying a sword. I mean, there was almost a fight, and worst of all, Jesus was about to be arrested, and when you're arrested and taken to jail, that can be really scary, especially if you haven't done anything wrong. But listen, at no point in this story does Jesus show us that he's afraid. He doesn't shout or scream, he doesn't fight, he doesn't run away, he doesn't argue or plead for his life. Actually, throughout the story that we just heard and read, Jesus remains calm. Jesus remains completely in control. And that is the main thing that we want to get from this passage today, that actually, no matter the circumstance and the situation, Jesus is always kind, he's always calm, he's always gentle, and he's always in control. Because, boys and girls, when Jesus is in charge, we don't have to be afraid. Whether it's scary monsters and silly characters from cartoons, whether it's the dark or being alone, or whatever situation you find yourself in where you feel a little bit afraid and a little bit scared, we don't have to be afraid because Jesus is with us. And with Jesus is with us, he's in control. So we don't have to be afraid. Let's break it down and let's really get into the passage. Okay. I need some help from you guys this morning. Wherever you're watching, I need your help. You would have heard in the story, there were two groups of people. There was Jesus and his friends, and there was the crowd, Judas and the crowd, and the angry people that came to get him. So we've got Jesus' friends, and we've got the crowd. What I'd like to do is, I'd like to split you all into those two groups, and we're going to do some actions together. Is that okay? Okay, so if you are on this side of the room, draw an imaginary line up the middle. If you're on this side of the room, do it in the coffee lounge, do it at home, draw a line up the middle of the screen. And if you're on this side, you guys are going to be the friends. Okay, you guys are going to be the people that are with Jesus. So whenever I say friends, do something, you guys are going to do the actions for the friends, okay? this side of the room, this side of the screen, wherever you're watching, you guys are going to be the crowd. All right? So you're going to have to put on some really good mean faces. Are you up for that? Okay, let's practice. So right at the start of the story, actually just before the story, the last thing that the friends were doing was sleeping. Jesus was praying and his friends were asleep. So friends, if you're on the friend side, show me your pretend sleeping. Or if you really want to get into method acting, just go to sleep. That's fine. Great stuff. Okay, crowd, you're gathering. You're not in the scene yet, but you're gathering and you're angry and you're mean. Show me your angry and mean faces. Yeah, look really cross. Look like somebody's just stolen your last jammy dodger. I'm really angry. Brilliant. Okay, sleeping friends, angry crowd. Now we're going to go through the passage and have a little dig at what's going on. So verse 47, it starts with, while he was still speaking, while Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up. So crowd, you've arrived. Get your hands up in the air. Grab your swords and your clubs. Wave them around. Look angry. Friends, there's a big angry crowd arrived. What do? You're going to look shocked. You're going to look scared. Brilliant. Look angry. Look scared. Now, while we're doing that, it says, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up and a man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. Judas was one of Jesus' friends. Judas should have been on the friend's side, right? He'd been with Jesus. He was one of his disciples. But that's not where he was. Judas was on the crowd side. In fact, Judas was leading the crowd. Judas had turned from being Jesus' friend to being Jesus' enemy. Oh, dear. Judas, Judas, he approached Jesus and kissed him. So, crowd, I want you to look across the room. I want you to blow some kisses. Blow your kisses across to the friends and across to Jesus. Lovely. Lots of kisses, lots of blown kisses. Friends, I want you to continue to look shocked. What has Judas just done? Brilliant. Now, listen, one thing we have to understand here, this was not a nice kiss. Normally when someone gives you a kiss, it's quite a nice thing. It's a greeting. It's from somebody that you like or somebody that you love. But that's not what this kiss was. This kiss that Judas was giving to Jesus was a kiss that said, you're it. You're the one. You're the one we've come to get. You're in big trouble. Uh-oh. Jesus is in big trouble. But Judas asked him, Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Well, the answer is yes, he was. Judas, his friend, had brought the crowd to capture Jesus, to arrest him and to take him away. His friend had turned against him. Now, I want to pause for a moment. I want to ask a question. I want you to answer this question in your groups. The question is this. How would you feel if your best friend turned against you? Or maybe a family member or somebody you trusted. How would you feel if someone you trusted turned against you? Let me give you 2 minutes. Turn in your groups and discuss that question. Okay, maybe we could hear a couple of your answers from those of you that are in the room. How do you think you would feel if somebody that you trusted turned against you? Put your hand up if you'd love to answer that question. How would you feel? Yes, nice and loud. How would you feel? Oh, yeah, wouldn't feel very great. Maybe throw a pencil at them. That's a honest answer. I like it. Very good. Well done. Yes, Logan. Lovely. Yes, might feel angry or sad. Right at the back. Yes, shout nice and loud. Oh, great answer. Ready to run away. Yeah, when you feel like your friend has betrayed you, has turned against you, you might want to run away. Run away from them, run away from the situation. These are all great answers. And you know what? I think that's maybe Jesus was feeling some of those things. He certainly would have felt hurt. He would have felt let down by his friend. He would have maybe a little bit of anger towards them. But do you know what Jesus did? He didn't allow the anger to boil out into a way that he did a bad thing or made a bad choice. Jesus knew that Judas had betrayed him. But he was still kind. Jesus was still gentle. And actually, even though the situation was unfolding in a bad way, Jesus was still in control. At no point was he mean to Judas or turn angry towards him. Now, let's keep going with the story. Verse 49, it says, when Jesus' followers, that's you guys, saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? So friends, get your swords ready. Got my sword? Oh, no, that's not my sword. Sorry, wrong thing. Got my sword ready. Okay, friends, get your swords ready. So have your sword down, pull it out, get it ready. Great actions. And actually, the crowd, you came with swords. You've already got them. So crowd, get your swords ready. Brilliant. Or if you want, get your clubs ready. You have to pretend you've got one. Now, this is the big moment. The big battle scene's about to happen. Everyone's got their swords ready. And maybe we need to quit training on some of our actions. So I wanted to, like we did with Simon Says, learn some actions. So if I say, draw your swords, go like this. Draw. If I say, swing, go like this. Great. If I say jab, go like this. And if I say defend, go like this. Good. Okay, stand up. Especially young people, stand up. Let's have a quick practice with our swords. We need to be ready for this epic battle, right? Okay, so draw. Swing. Jab. Defend. Draw. Swing. Jab. Defend. Bit faster. Mix it up. Draw. Jab, defend, jab, swing. I don't know what else is going to happen, but you look great. Sit down, well done. Whew, getting carried away. Okay, so we are in a pickle. We have got the friends of Jesus with their swords ready. We've got the crowd of people with their swords ready. This is going to turn into one of those big, amazing, crazy battles. But it doesn't end that way, does it? Because Jesus is in control. And that's not what's going to happen. Actually, verse 50, before even Jesus is able to answer the question, what should we do? Should we get our swords out? One of them, it says, struck the servant's ear. Struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. So, friends, get your swords out again one last time. Big swing, chop off the ear. Shoom. Crowd, that's right, grab hold of your ear and go, oh, you're in a lot of pain now. That's not good, but here's the amazing thing. It doesn't turn into a big battle. Verse 51, Jesus answered, no. No more of this. Let's put our swords away. And he touched the man's ear. And he healed him. So crowd, you'll put bad ear. Ah, it's better again. It's okay. Jesus has healed it. How amazing is that? Guys, let's remember something here. Jesus is the Son of God. He is so powerful. He could defeat 1,000 armies that were coming against him if he chose to. Does he let his friends and the crowd fight? No. Even when he's under attack by his enemies, Jesus chose to show kindness and be gentle. He even chose to show kindness to his enemies. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody going up to their enemy and healing them, offering them that kind of kindness right in the midst of this heated battle? Jesus does things very differently to the way maybe you or I would do them. Because let's keep remembering, Jesus is kind and gentle. And even though it looks like there's chaos, Jesus is still totally in control. Guys, there are many times that we feel the need to fight. Fight for ourselves, or to defend ourselves when we're in an argument, or to stand up for what's wrong. It's really important that we remember that we can still do it with kindness and with love. So, we're coming into land. Verse 52, Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders, so that's all of you, that's what that's saying, all of you, crowd, I want to see your listening ears, your good ear and your healed ear, listening ears now, get your listening ear. Jesus says to everyone, this is what Jesus says, am I leading a rebellion? He says, am I coming at you? Am I fighting? Am I being aggressive? Am I being mean? Am I being the bad person in this situation? Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with me with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. In other words, Jesus is pointing out, he's not the bad guy here. Jesus has done nothing wrong. Actually, the crowd coming in secret, coming in darkness, coming to capture him in the middle of the night, he's saying, listen, I'm not the bad guy. You guys are behaving like the bad guys. But Jesus was still kind to them. You know, Jesus knows he's about to be arrested. And the very next verse, Jesus is about to be arrested. He stopped the fight and he addresses the crowd. But he knows what they've come to do, to capture him, to arrest him, to put him on trial. And so I want to break into groups one more time and answer one more question. Knowing that he was about to be arrested, what should he do? Should he fight? Should he run away? What do you think Jesus should do? And maybe, if you've got time, also answer the other question, what would you do when you're being attacked or somebody's out to get you? What do you do in that situation? So, quickly in your groups, what do you think Jesus should do? And maybe, if you've got time, what would you do? Go for it, you've got 2 minutes. Okay, I'm sure you've come up with some great answers here and at home. What would Jesus do? What should Jesus do? What would you do when you're feeling that you're in that sort of situation, when you're scared, being attacked, people are against you, things are not going your way? What would you do? Well, for Jesus, the answer was that, well, he knew that they were going to arrest him so that he could go to the cross. Jesus knew what was about to happen next. He knew that they would arrest him. He would go to the cross and he would die on the cross. And even though it meant a lot of pain and a lot of suffering for him, he let them do it. Because he knew that that was part of God's big plan to rescue his people. And I'm sure we'll hear more about that over the next couple of weeks. The crowd that came that night, they didn't arrest Jesus because they could. They arrested Jesus because he allowed them to. Even though he could have stopped the situation, changed the situation, brought down 1,000 angels, he could have done all sorts of things to change it. But Jesus was still in control. Jesus was gentle and he was kind to his enemies and he was always in control. Actually, even when it looked like he was weak and powerless, Jesus was still gentle, kind, and totally in control. So, crowd, your last action, grab hold of Jesus and you need to walk him away. The last verse, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. So grab hold of Jesus and march him away, where you'll find out what happens next week. Friends, you need to look sad. Jesus has been arrested. Oh dear. Well, that's where our story ends for now. And it does end, doesn't it, with things not looking good for Jesus. But we know Jesus is still in control. And that's what we need to keep remembering. Think back to the start. Think of all those things that we put on the screen that were scary. Think of all the things that can scare us, being in the dark, being lost, or sometimes what people might do. I want you guys to remember that whenever you feel scared or you don't know what to do, whenever you're going through a bad situation, remember that Jesus is always kind and gentle, and Jesus is always in control. That means we can trust him with our fears and with our problems too. Jesus is always in control. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love towards us. Jesus, we thank you that you chose to go to the cross, to be arrested, and to go through the bad things that were about to happen to you because you loved us so much. You were willing to do that for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you showed us kindness and you showed us gentleness even when we were not your friends. But thank you, Jesus, that through what you did on the cross, we can now become your friends, part of your family. God, would you help us to remember Jesus, to be like Jesus, and to trust in you, God, in all situations. Amen.